Nahihirapan ka bang magpatawad? Naranasan mo na bang magpatawad ng tao who you think doesn't deserve it? Forgiveness is a difficult thing. Even if we're to think about it, it seems like an impossible thing. Mahirap ang magpatawad. Mahirap din humingi ng tawad. At may mga pagkakataon na mahirap din tanggapin ang humihingi ng kapatawaran sa atin. Madalas ang naririnig pa natin ng mga payo ay hindi helpful. Huwag mo nang patawarin yan. Yaan mo siya. Sige lang, tahimik ka lang. Ilang beses mo nang pinatawad yan, paulit-ulit lang yan. Kaya sometimes forgiveness is discouraged. Ang iba naman sa atin, ang topic ng forgiveness is very difficult. It's a very difficult one dahil kailangan natin mapatawad at hindi natin na-receive yung kapatawaran na yon. It can be difficult. Maybe it's because you're having a hard time asking forgiveness. O kaya naman, alam natin na dapat tayo magpatawad, pero ayaw natin. According sa Bible, habang nandito tayo sa fallen world, there is always the need of forgiveness. Alam natin kailangan natin ng forgiveness from others. At tayo din kailangan natin mag-grow sa ability natin to forgive others. Makikita natin ito sa ating short 3-week sermon series sa little book that is called Philemon o Philemon. Ang letter ng Philemon ay sinulat ni Apostle Paul sa loob ng bilangguan sa Rome noong AD 62 and is considered as one of his prison epistles. Ito ay isa sa mga huling sinulat niyang letters kasama ang letter po ng Colossians na pinadala niya kay Tychicus at kay Onesimus. Makikita po yan sa Colossians chapter 4. Ito din ay ang pinakamaigsing letter na sinulat niya na naglalaman lamang ng 25 verses. Wala nga kung chapter. Verses lang po. That consists of only 335 Greek words. Bagamat ito'y maigsing letter, this letter is immensely instructive. This letter is very significant sa mga mananampalataya. This letter is unique compared sa ibang mga letters na sinulat sa New Testament because it is not primarily a doctrinal letter na nag-offer ng theological instruction para sa congregation. Rather, the letter addresses a specific relational issue between two individuals sa isang local church. It is between Philemon, na kung saan recipient ng letter na to, at sa kanyang former servant, si Onesimus, na kung saan ninakawan siya at tinakbuhan papuntang Rome. This is a letter about forgiveness and reconciliation. And I invite you to join us for the next 3 weeks to discover ang beauty ng forgiveness that we have received from the Lord. Thus, as recipients of such grace, we should be granting grace and forgiveness to others. And so sa ating maiksing 3-week series, we will witness how the power of the gospel reconciles people to God, transforms individual lives, and reconciles people to each other. So the first few verses na ating titignan is very foundational sa reconciliation. So this is our main idea ng 7 verses na ating binasa ni Ate Chi kanina. A reconciled relationship with God redefines and refreshes relationships with others. A reconciled relationship with God redefines and refreshes relationships with each other. We have divided this passage into 2 points. Number one, the gospel redefines relationships, verses 1 hanggang 3. And number two, the gospel refreshes relationships, verses 4 hanggang 7. Let's jump right in sa ating passage. But before, let me give summary ng bawat point na ito. Yung point number one natin addresses ang mga recipient ng letter na to. Hindi ayon sa kanilang earthly titles, kung hindi according sa kanilang new identities in Christ. At pangalawa naman, as Paul prays for Philemon and highlights the transformation na ginawa ng Panginoon sa kanyang buhay, i-highlight niya kung paano siya naging blessing sa mga kapatiran sa small church na to. So let's jump right in. Number one, the gospel redefines relationships. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our brother, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Kung mapapansin natin, Paul addresses himself at ang mga characters of verses 1 and 2, hindi ayon sa kanilang natural earthly titles or identities, kung hindi sa kanilang bagong identity or bagong relationship sa isa't isa because of Christ. Unahin natin si Paul. Paul, kilala natin ang pangalan niya noon, which is Saul. Isang kinakatakutan na pareseyo who executed and imprisoned Christians. Until Christ appeared to him on the roadway to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared to him, saved him, cleansed him from his sins, forgave him, transformed his life. From Saul, the persecutor of Christ, to Paul, the proclaimer of the gospel of Christ. From Saul, who imprisoned followers of Christ, to now a person who is imprisoned for the sake of Christ. Apat na beses binanggit ni Paul ang passage na he was a prisoner of Christ and the gospel. Apat na beses po sa 25 short verses na to. Verse 1, verse 9, verse 13, and verse 23. Paul gave up his prestige, his prosperity, his power as a Pharisee for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mga kaibigan, bilang mga mananampalataya na niligtas, nilinis, at binago ng Panginoong Hesukristo, may mga certain rights, comforts, or conveniences ba tayo na kailangan natin i-sacrifice for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the sake of God's people? Maring ang dahilan why Paul introduced himself this way rather than the usual introduction niya na Paul an apostle or Paul Christ's servant is because he's about to make a humble request. He's about to make an appeal kay Philemon and remind him in a subtle way that of the sacrifices of one needs to make for the sake of the gospel. So he's modeling that. He's in a way instructing him, hinting him, na if you're a Christian, there are sacrifices. And guess what? The coming weeks, pag-uusapan, patawarin mo na si Onesimus. Yun ang kanyang ibibigay. But then again, he is preparing him for this. Now let's look at Timothy, which is binanggit din sa first one. A young Greek man na lumaki sa kanyang God-fearing na lola na Lois at ang kanyang nanay Eunice. Naging Christian after hearing Paul's powerful gospel presentation sa Lystra. It was unlikely na makita na magkasama ang Jews at Gentiles during that time. But because of the gospel, wala na ang pader na nagdi-divide sa kanila. And so Paul now calls him sa verse 1, brother. Now in other instances, the 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2, he calls him my true child in the faith or anak. Ang susunod sa listahan natin ay mga recipients mismo ng kanyang letter. So So isa-isa natin sila. Of course, yung talagang sinulatan niya ay si Philemon o si Philemon. Isang mama na marahil kilala sa kanyang katanyagan, kayamanan at kapangyarihan sa lipunan. Isang maimpluwensya at matagumpay na negosyante. Heard Paul preach the gospel of Christ, cross and empty tomb, came to faith in Christ as implied sa verse 19. Since then, his life has never been the same. He is a new man. He poured his life into loving and serving God's people sa maliit na church na to. Ang tawag ni Paul sa kanya ngayon ay, hindi sir, beloved fellow worker, or fellow servant, or fellow slave of Christ. From a CEO type of position, now he calls him a servant, a co-servant, a fellow servant. Si Apphia, to verse 1 then. Apphia ay ang asawa ni Philemon. At kung ikaw ay asawa ng isang mayamang negosyante sa Colossus during sa Roman time, marahil siya ay sanay sa expensive jewelry, clothing, luxury, at mga social na gatherings. Malamang she is marked by these qualities. But notice, hindi siya tinawag ni Paul na madam. Ay, si madam. Hindi. Anong tawag sa kanya? Sis. Sister. Naranasan niyo ba na may makilala kayo isang tao na makapangyarihan at maimpluwensya? Na kung saan nadaanan ka, na na-excite ka kasi nakita mo siya or nakausap mo siya. Isipin mo dito, somehow, yung relationship nila ngayon ay hindi na ganun kalayo. Ang tawag sa kanila, kapatid sa Panginoon. Why? Because the gospel redefines relationships. This implies she came to faith in Christ and supports her husband sa gospel ministry. Tandem silang dalawa mag-asawa, no? Partner sila sa gospel ministry, pagaya ni Aquila at ni Priscilla sa Acts chapter 18. She's now serving the brothers and sisters who are gathering sa kanilang bahay para sa church service. And lastly, oh, not really lastly, I got a couple of more. Archippus. Nabanggit din niya sa verse 1. Sino si Archippus? Philemon's son o anak na lalaki. Marahil siya ay kinikilala na tagapagmana ng malaking negosyo na ito, ng negosyo ng kanyang tatay, at inaasang itutuloy ang family business at palalaguin. Marahil ito po yung pangarap, yung plano. But when the Lord saved him, ang puso niyo pa ay nagbago. He was no longer interested in advancing his professional career. He's more interested in advancing the gospel, the kingdom of God. Paul calls him fellow soldier. Fellow soldier. Maaring siya ang isang mangangaral ng salita ng Diyos. O maaring meron siyang ino-oversee sa ministry. Pero ang alam lang natin, nagbigay ng encouragement si Paul sa kanya sa Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. And I read, "See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord." He's a co-laborer in Christ. Napansin niyo ba na si Paul, si Timothy, si Philemon, si Apphia, si Archippus, all had heard the gospel, came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and their lives were never the same. They are now eternally related to one another. They were transformed and are used by God to proclaim His good news to the world. Mga kaibigan, hindi huminto ang Panginoon sa limang tao na ito. Hindi huminto ang Panginoon sa limang tao in raising up godly workers in the field. Throughout the history of the church, God has used ordinary people to proclaim His extraordinary message, the gospel. Patuloy siyang gumagamit ng mga ordinaryong lalaki at babae, ordinaryong kabataan at mga matatanda, ordinaryong mayaman at mahirap. He will use ordinary employees. He will even use the unemployed. Ordinary fathers and mothers, students, neighbors, pastors, Bible study leaders. God used these ordinary people to advance this extraordinary gospel or message that leads people to Christ. To proclaim the good news of Christ that leads people to salvation. Mga kaibigan, hindi ba minsan pa sa ating buhay ay may mga ganitong klaseng mga ordinaryong tao ang nag-share sa atin ng gospel? Ang nagdala sa atin sa Panginoon? Mga ordinaryong tao na inimbitahan ka umaten ng Bible study? Mga ordinaryong tao na nagbigay ng gospel track? Mga ordinaryong tao na niyaya ka magkape o magmerienda at nag-share sa iyo ng gospel? Mga ordinaryong tao na sinama ka sa church? Maaring nandito ka ngayon at inimbitahan ka ng ordinaryong member ng church. Salamat po sa pagdalo. Or, your parents constantly reminds you of the gospel truths that you must remember. Mga kaibigan, ang magandang tanong sa atin ngayong umaga is this. Papaano ka pwedeng gamitin ng Panginoon sa larangan na ito? Paano ka pwedeng gamitin ng Panginoon sa larangan na ito? Let's go to our last group of people, which is the church. So verse 1 din po yun. This is a community of followers of Jesus who meet in Philemon's house regularly for church service. Ang letter ni Paul kay Philemon ay personal, ngunit hindi siya private, because it was intended to be read and heard by the church mismo sa house church ni Philemon. So ang tanong bakit? Well, here's the thing. How Philemon and his family would receive Onesimus would affect the whole church. Napaka-crucial po ng pagtanggap nila kay Onesimus. Crossroads. How we live our lives personally bilang mga mananampalataya ni Kristo affects our corporate witness to the gospel of Christ as a congregation. Kaya mahalaga po how we care for one another. Napakahalaga po kung paano natin mahalin ang bawat isa. Mahalaga po na magtanungan tayo on how we are walking in our faith with Christ. Napakahalaga po kung paano ang pagiging Kristiyano mo. Tanungin natin, paano ang pagiging Kristiyano mo sa trabaho? Kamusta ang paglakad mo sa Panginoon sa iyong personal life? Paano ang paglakad mo kay Kristo sa inyong tahanan, sa pag-lead ng iyong family, sa pag-submit sa iyong asawa? How are you walking the Christian life pag walang nakatingin ng mga Kristiyano? Kamusta ang pakikipaglaban sa kasalanan? Hindi po ito pangingilam sa buhay na may buhay. Okay? In fact, this is loving. This is very loving. This is upholding our covenant, our commitment sa bawat isa. This shows our love and commitment to Christ kapag ginagawa po natin yun. Yung five individual na nabanggit natin ay hindi na katulad ng dati. Iba na sila. Iba na ang kanilang identity, iba na ang relationship nila sa bawat isa, at iba na ang kanilang turingan. Paul is now using familial terms or family language to address ang bawat isa sa kanila. Brothers, sisters, father in the faith, son in the faith. Pamilya na. Pero paano nangyari ito? Paano nila nagawang i-sacrifice ang kanilang rights, i-sacrifice ang kanilang comfort, i-sacrifice ang kanilang mga conveniences to serve others? Paano naging iba ang identity nila at relationship sa bawat isa? Well, ang kasagutan po, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ang grace and peace ay common na panimula ni Paul sa kanyang letters, except sa 2 Timothy, na kung saan dinagdagan po niya ng mercy. So grace, nilagay niya yung mercy sa gitna, and then peace. 1 Timothy 1 verse 2, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. This is no ordinary greetings, friends. This greeting is deeply theological. It describes what happened to them and their current relationship with God and towards one another. Grace, mercy, and peace, hindi ito mga pangalan ng mga kaibigan ninyo. It's something deeper than that. Okay? It's something that, this is a reality that happens to a person who places their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it is by the grace and mercy of God that we have peace with God. Let me say that again. It is by the grace and mercy of God that we have peace with God.
Mga kaibigan, kung nandito ka ngayon, umaga at hindi ka tiyak kung may kapatawaran nga ba lahat ng mga nagawa mong kasalanan na ultimo ikaw, hindi mo mapatawad ang sarili mo. Kung may pag-asa ka bang magbago, kung magkakaroon ka ba ng kakayanan, magpatawad sa mga tao na nakakit sa iyo. If that is you this morning, napakahalaga ng mapakinggan mo itong part na to.
God created us in His image to know Him and live for Him and recognize His authority over our lives.
Ang problema, hindi natin kinikilala ang Kanyang otoridad. Ang gusto natin ay tayo ang otoridad sa ating buhay. Ang gusto natin ay tayo ang masusunod sa ating buhay. Gagawin natin ang gusto nating gawin at paraan at panahon na gusto nating gawin. Hahamakin at sasaktan sino man ang haharang o pipigil sa atin at lalabagin ang kalooban at salita ng Diyos kung ito ay nagtataliwas sa gusto nating mangyari sa ating buhay. Mga kaibigan, ang tawag po dyan ay rebellion. Kanino? Sa isang banal na Diyos.
This, friends, is sin. Sin is not just the things that we do, say, and think. It is our nature. And that gives us an idea that we are hopeless. No.
And because God is good, God is righteous, God is just, He will punish all of us because of our sins, because of our idolatry. But God did not punish us according sa ating kasalanan. Pinadala niya ang Diyos Ama, ng Diyos Ama ang kanyang anak na si Jesus, who took on flesh, tunay na Diyos at tunay na tao. He lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father, something that we cannot achieve. And He was nailed on that cross in our place. On that cross, the sinner's place. Jesus on that cross took the punishment not for His sins, because He is sinless, He is pure, He is holy. Kung hindi ang sins natin, but took the punishment for our sins. Namatay si Kristo, nilibing, at nabuhay na muli sa ikatlong araw. This is the good news. Defeating death, sin, and the power of Satan and Satan himself. Friends, listen. To have a relationship with God, and you have to hear this, to have a relationship with God, you must first have a new relationship with your sin. And that is to hate it. Abhor it. You must hate the sin that you love. Talikuran ito. Abandonahin ito. And turn to Christ, the Savior. Trust Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins.
I know I hear in counseling many times, people would say, Pastor, hindi ko mapatawad ang sarili ko sa nagawa ko. You know what? It doesn't really matter kung mapatawad mo ang sarili mo. Kasi the only significant forgiveness, hindi yung sa'yo, kung hindi yung forgiveness ng Diyos, Ama sa'yo, through Jesus Christ. That's the kind of forgiveness that took our sin and shame and guilt on the cross. That's the type of salvation that we need. That's the type of forgiveness that needs to be granted to us. God opposes the proud, but it gives, extends grace to the humble. We must turn from our sins and turn to Christ. And once we have done that, there will be forgiveness of sins. There will be reconciliation to God the Father and to one another. Lahat ng ating mga kasalanan ay pinayaran na niya. We will be no longer be enemies of God, but friend of God. We will be friends of God. Kung meron kang isang kaaway na ayaw mo maging kaaway, Diyos. Kasi ang problema ng isang makasalanang mundo ay isang banal na Diyos. At itong banal na ito will judge us, not because the trip lang niya. He needs to judge sin and all fallenness because that is His nature. He is holy. And by the grace of God, He has provided us a way to be reconciled. Hindi na kaaway, kaibigan. It is by the grace and mercy of God that we have peace with God. Mga kaibigan, ito din ang foundation natin, mga Kristiyano, for forgiving others. Napakamahalaga po nito. If you're having a hard time, you feel that your heart is hard, and I will mag-extend ng forgiveness, this is foundational to forgiveness. Because you must first experience true forgiveness of sins in order to be a recipient grace and forgiveness towards others. Because of Christ, tayo ngayon ay may bagong identities. We now have new relationship with God and one another. God has transformed ang buhay ni Philemon in a powerful way that blessed and refreshed the saints in Colossae, which is yun ang titignan natin na point, which is the last point. Gospel refreshed relationships. Verse 47, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort for your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Now, kung ikaw po ang nasa piitan, isa lang ang prayer request mo. Ano po yun? Hindi naman takas, kasi takas yung parang illegal eh. Mga parang tatakas. Prayer, Lord, tatakas ako, huhukay ako, hindi ko. Ang prayer natin makalaya. Yun siguro yung term na hinahanap natin. Mapakawalan, ha? Laya, yun. Freedom, mapakawalan. Iba sa inyo, sanay sa takas, ano? Kasi siguro nasabi natin, hindi po. But not Paul. Not Paul. We see two kinds of prayers in this passage, which is yung last na pag-uusapan natin, na pinag-pray ni Paul. One, yung unang prayer niya is a prayer of thanksgiving. Second prayer na binigay niya is a prayer request. So tingnan natin yung dalawa na to. Prayer of thanksgiving and prayer request. Saan siya nagpapasalamat? Makikita natin sa verse 5 at verse 7, very straightforward, kung saan siya nagpapasalamat sa Panginoon. He thanked God for the fruit of the gospel sa buhay ni Philemon. Praise God! Philemon loved the Lord. He exemplified a life of worship, not only through words, but through his actions. Nabanggit din sa verse 5, because of his love for the Lord, nag-uumapaw ito sa love sa mga kapatiran. It overflowed yung love to others. Now, sinabi dyan sa verse 5, he loved the saints. Siguro, ipaliwanag ko lang ho ng konti ito, ano, yung loving the saints. Now, hindi po ibig sabihin ito, niluluhuran o iniiyakan at inahalikan ang mga paa ng mga ribulto ng mga patay na saints. na I love this saint. Hindi po yun ang ibig sabihin niya. Basically, he means love the brothers and sisters sa kanyang local church. And practically, this man practically cared and loved and served and refreshed or strengthened yung mga kapatiran sa local church na yun. Yun ang ginawa ni Philemon nung siya'y nakakilala sa Panginoon. Hindi na business is business ang kanyang mentality. Ang kanyang pag-iisip, how can I serve? How can I love? How can I care? It was not mentioned in scripture kung anong klaseng tulong ang binigay niya. Probably financially. Maaring siguro yung mga tauhan niya, nashira niya ng gospel, ngayon naging bahagi ng iglesia. We don't know, pero maaari. But what thing that really refreshed the saints is him encouraging them with the word. This basically means he loved the brothers and sisters in Christ practically and refreshed and strengthened their hearts. Makita niyo yan sa verse 7. Now, alalahanin po natin na si Philemon po, parang yung sabi niya, Pastor, ibang klase pala yan si Philemon. Ano? Magaling na leader sa church siguro yan. So, mahirap maging pareho ni Philemon. Ipaliwanag ko lang, ano, paalala ko sa atin, si Philemon po ay hindi pastor. Si Philemon po ay maaring hindi siya isa sa mga main preachers sa church na ito. Isa siyang negosyante at isang ordinaryong membro. Ginagawa niya lahat ito as an ordinary member ng church. Yet, he tangibly loved and cared for the brothers and sisters sa house church in Colossae. Now, what is my point? Mga kaibigan, does this love and care describe how you love and care sa mga kapatiran natin dito sa Crossroads? Does that describe you? Does this describe your love to your local church for those who are visiting? Bilang mga mananampalataya na committed kay Christ at sa bawat isa, ang tanong siguro natin ngayong umaga, paano ba dapat namin mahalin ang bawat isa, Pastor? That's a good question. So I'm going to be a little bit practical. Bullet points, bibigay ko lang sa inyo. First of all, you want to love the brothers and sisters dito sa Crossroads or to any local church you are affiliated. First of all, by coming every Sunday to worship God together and encourage one another. Come to church, Hebrews chapter 10, 24 to 25. Do not neglect the gathering. Because see, why? This is the opportunity for you, not just to worship God with the saints, but an opportunity for you to serve one another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. There is such great joy that I derive at times when we sing together. Sing gospel songs, sing word-saturated songs together as a church. Especially for those I know, mga brothers and sisters, who are struggling, who are going through a difficult season sa kanilang life, yet they say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound who saved a wretch like me. Oh, brothers and sisters would say, this is amazing grace. Crying, worshiping, you derive comfort and joy sa mga ganong klaseng worship. So come every Sunday to worship God for your soul's sake and for our brothers and sisters' sake to the glory of God. Another thing that we can encourage and love and care for one another is by listening and speaking God's word to each other. We gather every Sunday, we listen to God's word, we go to our Bible study, we listen to God's word. When a brother or sister may be nagdadaanan na kabigatan sa kanyang buhay, we speak God's word. We counsel with God's word. We pray with God's word. We sing with God's word. So, love the brothers and sisters by listening and speaking God's word. Third, by obeying and encouraging others to obey God's word. Mahirap naman puro kinig na lang at puro salita. Kailangan pakita natin. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about pursuing holiness, righteousness, and purity as we cling to Christ. Model. Fathers and mothers, model God's word and how it should be lived sa ating tahanan. mother, brother pastors, deacons, model it at the church, model it. Bible study leaders, community group leaders, model what we teach. We love and care for Crossroads members. Another way is by reminding each other of the gospel. This is our hope, friends, the gospel truth. Another way we can love them is by praying together, by mourning and rejoicing with one another. We must weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. Hindi po baliktad. We weep pag our sister is rejoicing, and we mourn kapag sila ay rejoicing. I just said the same thing, but that's an issue of the heart, hindi po ba? Pag may pagpapala ang kapatid, hindi basta magmasaya tayo, nalulungkot tayo kasi kinakain tayo ng inggit. Okay? O kaya naman pag may problema inaharap, tama lang yan. Hindi ho dapat ganoon ang puso. So we rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That's how we love and care for each other. Eh, Pastor, paano kung hindi ako emotional? Well, you cannot manufacture genuine emotions, but you can be there in presence mo, in silence, praying. Another way we can pray and we can love the church is by holding each other accountable, by modeling holiness, by look. Here's another thing: by looking for areas sa buhay ng ating mga kapatiran na binago ng Panginoon at nagiging blessing sa iba. And this is what you do pag may nakita ka, you thank God, which is a direct application of passage. If you see anything na pagbabago ng Panginoon sa buhay ng kapatid nating ito, wow, ang galing na paglalabanan niya kasalanan, ang galing lagi siya nasa church, ang galing nag-share siya ng gospel, we thank God who is working in this brother or sister's life. And then approach that brother and sister and encourage them. Thank the Lord. Another way we can love the brothers and sisters at Crossroads by looking for opportunities mapaglingkuran ng bawat isa. Look for ways to serve. Wala ho kaming 5, 10, 20 points kung paano gawin ito. But take initiative. Look for ways to encourage. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, ano ang pumipigil sa iyo na mahalin ang mga kapatiran sa ganitong klaseng kalibre? Ano ang pumipigil sa iyo? Isa sa mga madalas na dahilan, I'll give you one, maraming dahilan. One of the many reasons why we refuse to serve brothers and sisters in this way, it's because, Pastor, busy kasi eh. Especially, taga-Dubai tayo, no? Kasi busy, Pastor, lahat tayo magawa, busy eh. Hiniram ko yung, may hiniram akong diagnostic questions ng isang preacher na kung saan madalas niyang itanong kapag may mga member siya na lagi, madalas sabihin sa kanya na, Pastor, walang oras, eh, busy. Let me ask these questions. It was very convicting para sa akin going through the questions, and I hope this would serve you well as I mention itong diagnostic questions. So hear me out. If you're a person who's saying, like, I'm busy, let me ask you this. Are you too busy because you feel the need to control things? Second, are you too busy because you feel the need to prove yourself to someone? Are you too busy, third, because you have this deep and controlling desire to get the most out of this life for yourself? Lahat ang pwedeng oportunidad kukunin ko para maging successful. Fourth, are you too busy because you feel the desire for the approval of others? Now, mga kapatid, kung totoo po sa atin ang isa sa mga tanong na ito o lahat ng mga ito, at maring meron kang sariling listahan na tanong, kung totoo po ito sa atin, tanungin natin ang ating sarili kung para kanino ba talaga tayo nabubuhay? Kung lagi tayo busy, para kanino ka ba nabubuhay? Second question, who do we prioritize loving the most? Who are we prioritizing? Who do we prioritize loving the most? Third question, pag sobrang busy, Who is at the center of your worship right now? Kasi kung ano man ang wino-worship mo, dun mismo, igugugol mo yung panahon mo. Kasi we are created to worship. Now, kung sagot mo sa lahat ng tatlong huling katanungan na ito is me, which is mostly the answer, then, my friends, we need to repent. We need to repent. Bakit po? Kasi si Kristo lamang ang dahilan kung para saan tayo nabubuhay. Dahil si Kristo ang tanging Diyos na dapat lamang natin iniibig ng lubusan. Dahil si Kristo lamang ang sentro ng ating worship. And if kung hindi si Kristo lahat yan, may problema tayo. Meron tayong niluluhura na Diyos-Diyosan na ang pangalan ay ako. At kung tayo ay committed talaga kay Christ, it is just right that we are to be committed to His people. Because Christ loved His people, Christ loves the church, that He died for the church. If you say, I like Jesus but not the church, that is a confusing disconnect. Kasi kung mahal mo ang Panginoon, mahal mo rin ang mga anak niya. Pastor, if maybe some of you are saying, kasi may problema ako sa pag-engage sa mga tao eh. Medyo introverted ako. And na-overwhelm ako kung kikilalanin ko lahat ng mga tao. Of course, with our limited abilities, hindi naman talaga natin makikilala lahat ng lubusan ng mga tao sa crossroads. Hindi tayo malaki, pero we are in a size na kung saan ang hirap kilalanin ng bawat isa. Of course. But friends, if this is you, if you are that our beloved introvert friend, then I encourage you and challenge you to pour into at least one or two people sa crossroads. I encourage you to love them by refreshing their hearts. Pray for that person. Just one. Pastor, walang chance yun? Two. So wala nang 1.5 eh. Okay? So do that. Pero pastor, wala ako ganong kakilala sa church. Saan ako magsisimula? Well, one, pray. Okay? And I'll give you a few more suggestions. Pero kung wala kang kakilala ganon sa church and you want to be intentional, ano ang gagawin po namin? Let me give you a few more application. First of all, ito ang gawin nyo, no? Para may makilala tayo. Agahan mo pagdating sa church. Agahan mo. Hindi dahil may kumukuha ng attendance. Okay? Agahan nyo pumunta ng church and then try to meet people kasi hindi ganun ka-overwhelming. Ano dahil may isa dyan, may isa dahil hiwa-hiwalay. Or approach yung connections team member natin. That's part of their ministry is connecting people to other people. So, come to church early. Try to meet people. Second, attend our membership class next week. Meron po tayong membership class next week. This is one of those good opportunities to get to know the pastors and to get to know some of the people na pareho mo bago sa crossroads. Magagana po yun sa kwarto doon, sa Merjan 6. 9 o'clock. Okay? Pagdating mo ron, don't expect na lahat yun makakakilala. Introduce yourself. Do not be anonymous pag nasa church ka. Okay? Third, another practical way is this. Kausapin mo yung katabi mo. Kilalanin mo. Hindi ko sinasabing gawin mo ngayon, okay? Baka magkakwentuhan kayo. Sabi ni Pastor, magkwentuhan daw tayo. Hindi ho. Ang sinasabi ko is try to talk to them. Kung hindi kayo masyado magkakilala, get to know them. Introduce yourself. Pakilala mo sarili mo. Another way is this. Stay. Okay? Stay. Magstay ka after ng service. Get to know people. The same way. Take that opportunity to talk to people. And then after ng service, samahan nyo kami sa food court. All the more we can share meals together. Alright? And lastly, join a community group. Kung makikita nyo ang bulletin nyo, if you would look at the section ng community group, yan po, meron tayong different community groups, different schedules, different locations, and different leaders. Kung saan po, kung saan nakikita ninyo na pwede kayo, yun po ang inyong puntahan. At kontakin nyo po yung mga numbers dyan or email. Why am I devoting time to this? Here's the reason. Because it's important to find and form relationships, to form and find friendships sa mga kapatiran dito sa iyong local church. That's how we grow. Second and last, second sub-point, prayer of thanksgiving, and now prayer request, verse 6. Now, Paul didn't pray for food or medical supplies or even a company for even na makakasama niya. But he prayed that their gospel partnership might lead him to a greater understanding of Christ. Yun po yung shortcut ng verse 6 na ito. Now, when I was studying this, hindi ho madali intindihin yung verse 6. Hindi siya madali intindihin kahit tingnan ko sa ilang translation, even in the original translation, bago na nakatulong yung sa original translation, and I'll share it mamaya. Mahirap siya dahil sa verse 6 yung word na sharing. Sharing. Kasi oftentimes, when we read or hear words like sharing your faith, ang first thing na pumapasok sa isipan natin ay evangelism. Sharing the gospel. Pero sa case ng passage na ito, it's not talking about sharing the gospel. Kasi sharing here is translated as koinonia, which means fellowship, partnership, participation. Paul, so ano itsura ng prayer request? Paul is asking for the grace of God to be at work sa buhay ni Philemon so that yung fellowship nila sa church would grow and please God in every area of their lives. Brothers and sisters, eto dapat ang ating prayer request. Let us together, and I want to include the word together there, let us together pour into each other's spiritual good by speaking and applying biblical truths to one another so that our knowledge of God will grow. Hindi lang siya mental but experiential din. As we serve one another. And if our knowledge of our God grows as a church, mag-grow din ang ability natin as a church to respond to the gospel of grace in any circumstances na haharapin ng iglesia. If we grow in the gospel of grace, then pagdating ng mga hagupit at challenges ng church, we can confidently link arms together and address it together. And Paul is intentionally praying this para kanino? Para kay Philemon. Bakit? Kasi in the coming verses na aaralin natin, makikita natin sa mga darating na linggo, he will be asking Philemon to do something that is very, very difficult. He will be asking Philemon to do a significant thing. Okay? He will be asking Philemon to do something that is significant, something that is important for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel unity, and for the sake of the advancement of the gospel. And that is reconciling to Onesimus. Mga kaibigan, let it be our desire, prayer, and corporate effort to grow our fellowship as a church. Palalimin ang ating kaalaman sa Diyos so that every part ng ating life as a church would be transformed to the glory of God. Because a reconciled relationship with God always redefines and refreshes relationship with others. Let us pray. Thank you for the gospel of hope, Father God, the gospel that leads us towards salvation. We are always thankful, always grateful for giving us a new life, a new identity, a new purpose, new hope because of what Christ has done on the cross. So my prayer, our prayer, is that we would grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we would be informed biblically in how to love and care and nurture one another in the faith. So, Father, I pray for those of us who are here, who have heard the gospel message, would you call these people to yourself in a saving way? Save them, Father. Reconcile them to you. reconcile them to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.